building a home, building a life. That's what I'm thinking about this Sunday, this Festival of the Christian Home Sunday and Mother's Day. The gospel lesson from Luke is from three parables that Jesus told. It's a third of those parables at which we look today, the parable about building a house. Jesus tells us the best way to build a house so that it'll be secure against the storms that always threaten. He says you have to dig down deep and lay the foundation on solid rock. Without a firm foundation, the house will be shattered by the storms that come. And storms, they do come. And to be sure, Jesus is talking about building the foundation of our lives on Jesus Christ, the solid rock and His Word. And what better place for that foundation to be laid than in the home? So on this Mother's Day and Festival of the Christian Home Sunday, in the midst of a pandemic and social distancing and isolation restrictions, I'm thinking about building the foundation of our lives, building a home, building on a solid foundation. One of my favorite books is Robert Fulghum's All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And in that book, he writes, "Remember the little seed in the paper cup? Its roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Goldfish, hamsters, and even the little seed in the paper cup, they all die, and so do we." Think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon and then lay down with our blankies for a nap. And while we're social distancing, his words take on an even richer significance when he writes, "And it's still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together." Such meaningful words from All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, because they're so profoundly true. The early years of a child are so important. Attitudes, personalities, values, habits, principles, and perhaps above all, our self-esteem are shaped powerfully by what happens to us in the first years of early childhood. So what foundations are we to lay for the homes we are building for ourselves and our families? A few years ago, I came across something from Sister Corita Kent that may help us think about this. Sister Corita was a nun who had an interesting ministry back in the 60s and 70s. She was an artist who designed and printed posters, Andy Warhol-like art that used common things to grab people's attention and communicate the gospel message. Graphic images of loaves of bread, dancing trees, cans of soup, combined with powerful words that witnessed to God's grace. It was her way of communicating the gospel in mind-grabbing, heart-touching ways. One of her favorites is a very colorful poster that brilliantly says, "Love is hard work." And one of her posters carried this message: "There are three things that keep life from being so daily: to make love, to make believe, and to make hope with the everyday common stuff and people around us." Isn't that it? Isn't that what makes a house a home? What makes living a life? Love, believe, and hope? Without a doubt, love is the essential foundation stone. Creating love, mothers, fathers, parents, create love in very special ways. When love is absent, a parent makes love present. When love is harmed or wounded, a parent makes love new again. When love is tired, a parent makes love strong again. When love is lost, a loving parent makes love findable again. But it's not just mothers or dads who do that. We must all be commended to doing that in all of our lives. When love is wounded, make it well again. Heal love that is wounded with forgiveness and attention. When love is fading or when it's absent from a relationship, we can pour upon that thinning relationship creative and unselfish energy to bring it to life again. When love is tired and when it seems to have gone the last mile, we can make strong love again. We can make love strong again by taking the initiative to care for another. The story goes that after the French Revolution, just living and finding food was nearly impossible. Not a crop or a garden had been left growing. A French captain and a soldier walked across the fields looking at the devastation that had been left in the wake of the war. And when they saw something move behind a bush, the soldier poked his bayonet into the bush and out scrambled a woman and two children. It was obvious that all three of them were starving, so the captain took a loaf of bread from his knapsack and handed it to the mother. She grabbed it, and she broke the bread into two pieces and handed one piece to each child. But the soldier watched the mother give the loaf of bread to her children and then said to his officer, "Sir, it looks like the woman's not hungry." And the captain replied, "No, soldier, it's because she's a mother." What an image of selfless love in full motion. A mother giving everything for her children, like God loving us so much that God gave the only Son that we might have life. It has to be that love is the first essential. So create love. Where are the corners in your home, in your life, where you need to create love? What are the relationships where love is fading and needs to be fed? Who do you know who could use a big helping of your love? Love, the first essential, and then make believe. When Sister Carita says make believe, she's not talking about pretending. She's talking about making faith, nurturing a sense of faith and belief and wonder, being able to look at everyday common people and daily stuff and still finding a sense of awe. G.K. Chesterton once said, "The world does not lack for wonder, but only lacks the sense of wonder." The world does not lack for wonder, but only lacks the sense of wonder. Poet William Blake pictured it as to how it might be. He said, "To see the earth in a grain of sand, and heaven in a wild flower. To hold the world in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour." Oh, if we were able to nurture that, to open our eyes to the beauty of God's creation, to recognize the courage and the strength of others, to embrace the overwhelming grace of God that saturates every day in our lives. Some years ago, an incredible thought came to me, and I've never forgotten it. And I try to remember it as often as I can. Steve, God is as close to you as God will ever be. I don't know how that sounds to you. It may not make any sense to you. But that was an unforgettable moment for me. It was just before the last hymn on Easter Sunday that the Suncrest United Methodist Church staff parish relations chairperson made the announcement to the church family that I was being appointed at Gateway United Methodist Church in Fairmont. I would be leaving Suncrest Church. And everybody stood up and sang the Hallelujah Chorus. Really? And I've been telling myself since 2005 that singing the Hallelujah Chorus on Easter Sunday at Suncrest Church is a tradition. Anyway, in the days to follow, when I met anyone at the church except the children, they looked at me as if I were suffering from some terminal illness. I was grieving because my days at Suncrest were ending, but I was a bit anxious about being the first pastor of two merging congregations. You see, I was the associate pastor when Suncrest Church merged from three congregations into one congregation. It's stressful. And I guess we humans become tied to buildings and furniture, and we seem to forget what being the church really means. We forget to keep the main thing the main thing. So I'm on my way to be the first appointed pastor of a newly merged congregation. I'd experienced a merger before, and if this was what God wanted for me, then let's get going. And actually, I almost knew something like this was going to happen, because God doesn't lead you through difficult experiences and not let those experiences count for something. Well, it happened on a Thursday afternoon during Kids Rock. That's Suncrest's after-school kids program. I helped out on most Thursdays, and I was called away from the group by one of the college students with some sort of a crisis, and after I helped him get things straightened out, one of the kids' rockers came and got me by the hand and led me to the music room filled with kids with the music director. He had me sit down, and all the kids sang for me. And they sang a song that I taught them and a song that we would sing with the choir on my last Sunday at Suncrest, the first song of Isaiah. And they sang this glorious kids' version of the Gaelic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. You know the rest. And then they gave me a shadow box picture of Noah's Ark that all the kids' rockers had made for me. And while those kids were singing and smiling, I was sure this must be the edge of heaven. And that's when that thought came to me. Steve, God is as close to you as God will ever be. Imagine what kind of feeling that was. I was leaving a place where I experienced love, and it wasn't easy to believe that I would ever have an experience like that again. You can imagine how I wrestled with that. I was afraid I might be moving into some dark night of the soul, moving to a newly merged congregation, but it soon became truly clear to me that was not to be my last experience of closeness with God. Because I found the edge of heaven in Fairmont too. Gateway had great kids, and I experienced the closeness of God there too. And every time I sit with the kids for wiggle time, I come to the edge of heaven, and I know and recognize again the closeness of God. That's the way it is every time I'm with any of the children or youth, or every time I'm with any one of you in joy or in sorrow, at play or at work or at table, in meetings or Sunday jazz or worship or any of the sacraments, I hear the words, "Steve, this is as close to God as you'll ever be." God is as close to any of us as God will ever be right now. Because God is always intimately present with us as we listen to God's small, still voice and we try our best to follow Jesus. Problem is, we don't feel God's presence. We don't search for it and respond to God's presence. We don't claim and exercise God's presence. You see, nothing's missing from God's side of things. It's from our side of things that there is the God-shaped void that we fail to allow God to fill. So we need to practice believing. That is, nurturing our sense of wonder. Being able to see God, allowing every moment to be a sacramental experience with the Almighty and a means of grace. Opening our eyes to the beauty around us and to the courage and strength and love that others express. Being present to experience the amazing grace that really is present in God's creation and with others and in the everyday events of life. But there's more here than just cultivating a sense of wonder. Make-believe suggests that our work as the family of God is inspiring faith in children and sustaining each other in nurturing faith. What are we doing to make-believe in building the faith life of our children? Faith is a solid foundation, the undergirding, the solid rock. Well, listen, church, if we want to teach our children faith, the best way to do that is to let them see and experience our own faith. Teach them to pray. Teach them special prayers, but remember, it's most important for them to see you pray and to hear you pray. Encourage them, lead them, nurture them to be a part of the church family, but we can't provide much encouragement unless we're engaged in the life of the church and they see that we are committed to the body of Christ. Henry Ward Beecher said, "The mother's heart is the child's schoolroom." And that could be paraphrased to read, "The church's heart is the child's schoolroom." Dick Murray was one of the leading Christian educators in America, and he did a lot of training on the national level for disciple Bible study. And Dr. Murray told a beautiful story about teaching his 4-year-old grandson, Martin, the Gloria Patri. He said he had taught Martin "Old MacDonald" and "Row, row, row your boat" and decided to teach little Martin the Gloria Patri. So they got in the car, buckled up, and rode through the streets of Dallas, Texas, singing "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen, amen." At the top of their lungs, granddaddy and grandson sang the Gloria Patri over and over and over, and they had a marvelous time. A short time later, they took Martin to big church, not children's church, but big church for the first time. And when they got to that place in the service where the congregation stood together and began to sing boldly the Gloria Patri, Dick Murray said he felt a tug on his coat. Martin was doing the tugging and motioning for his granddad to bend down so he could tell him something. Dick Murray bent down, and 4-year-old Martin said excitedly in his ear, "Papa, Papa, they're singing our song. They're singing our song." How beautiful. Dick had taught his grandson to make believe. Faith had been transmitted from one person to another. That's the sort of thing that has to take place in the family and in the church family and in the Christian home as we build our homes and our lives. Share love. Make believe, make faith, and make hope. Is anything more needed, especially now, than to be hopeful? It's an essential at every stage of life. Children need it, teenagers need it, college students need it, young adults need it, moms and dads need it, middle-agers need it, seniors need it. Every one of us needs hope. In late 18th century Poland, the Kaiser forces were burning all the Jewish villages. They had burned one particular village to the ground. The town smelled of nothing but smoldering ashes. And the next morning, one old Jew went down to the marketplace and opened his stall for business. A young man walked by and asked him, "Old Jew, what are you selling?" And standing there in the smoky, smoldering ruins, the old man said, "I am selling hope." The family is the best setting where hope is cultivated and transmitted from one to the other. The family ought to be the place where when one person is down, another will lift them up. The family ought to be the place where when someone is experiencing sorrow, there will be someone who will share sorrow's burden. That very simple act brings joy. The family is a place where there will be enough love energy and faith energy to kindle hope in every person. So how do we build a home, a life, with a firm foundation that will withstand all the storms of life? We share love. We make believe. We grow faith. And we make hope. May our lives be open this day to the presence of Jesus Christ in every motion of every moment of every day. And may you experience the awesome wonder that God is as close to you right now as God will ever be.